Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. My name is Sue Schenck. I am married to Merle Schenck, our lead pastor, who just got back from another week of doing another leg of the Appalachian Trail. So I'm so blessed that he loves to do that, and he releases me not to love to do that and to stay home. And so we are in week three of our What Now series. I was thinking, you know, some of us moms, probably especially with our first child, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant, I'm so excited. And then you have your baby and you're like, what now? Like, nobody told me what to do after this. I just want to reiterate what our thinking has been for this series. What's behind this what now? As you may have saw in the video introduction, if you got to pay attention to it, Jesus made it a point to tell his disciples ahead of time what was going to happen. He spelled it out very clearly so that when it did happen, and it would, this was Jesus talking, it was going to happen, so that when it did happen, they wouldn't be alarmed and they would believe that he really was the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the I am that I am. And yet, it wasn't this, you know, I think we can tend to think, oh, Jesus was, you know, crucified and resurrected and he rose again and they all lived happily ever after and then we moved on to the Holy Spirit. No, it really wasn't like that. These guys were normal people. And so this time between Jesus' resurrection and when he ascended and sent the Holy Spirit, these group of men and some women, they doubted. They were confused, they were disillusioned, even though Jesus had told them, this is what's going to happen, don't be alarmed. It happened, they're alarmed, they're confused, they're disillusioned, and they're experiencing things just like us. And just as Jesus walked with them through all of these anxious emotions and feelings, he still walks with us through all of them as well. Waiting. I was going to kind of just, when it was time for the sermon to start, I was just going to sit in my seat for about 2 minutes and not do anything and see what y'all did as you were waiting. Because I bet a lot of you would have really bothered you. Like, what? What's going on? I don't like waiting. What's the problem? But I didn't know that Merle would be a big fan of that, so I thought I probably shouldn't do that. Waiting. We all do lots of it throughout the course of our life. In the spirit of Mother's Day, moms, you wait to get pregnant, you wait to have the baby, you wait for said baby to sleep through the night, you wait for the child to walk, you wait for the child to get out of diapers, you wait for the child to talk, you wait for the child to stop talking. You wait for the child to go off to school. You wait for them to drive. You wait for them to graduate. You wait for them to go off to college. You wait for them to get done with college. And all of us, whether you're a mom or not, we wait in lines. We wait our turn. We wait for wounds to heal. We wait on hold. We wait for coffee to brew. We wait for test results. We wait for tax refunds. We wait. We wait. We wait. We wait, and I would say that 99.9% of the time, we don't like it. Just in the past couple of weeks, I was a part of two different conversations that I just kind of really made me listen. Merle and I were at a gathering a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking to this young couple who had been here as JMU students, and they have since moved away, but they want to come back to the area. And they said, yeah, we feel like God's told us to wait for like 3 to 5 years. And I was like, wow, is that hard? And the wife was like, no, I love it. And I was like, you do? And she said, no, I hate it. I hate waiting. I'm totally being sarcastic. And I said, because if you really do love it, you need to come preach my sermon, because I've never met somebody that loved to wait. And then last week, Merle and I were at a local fundraiser, and one of the directors of the ministry got up and shared, and she was talking about kind of the last 3 years and what it's been like. And she said year 2 that the Lord had them wait and wait and wait. And she said, that really wasn't an easy year. No one likes to wait. It's a drag. It's burdensome. It can be like a weight we carry around, the weight of a weight. Let's pray. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God who makes all things new. And so I pray that you would take the words that I speak and that we hear. And even if we've heard these scriptures a lot of times or these thoughts a lot of times, Lord, would you make them new to every single person in this room? You know where each one of us is in this area of waiting, and you know the encouragement we need to hear, the words we need to hear. So Holy Spirit, come mightily and abundantly and anoint these words, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, in the events surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection, there was plenty of waiting, and I want to read a couple of passages to show you. We're going to start in Luke 23, starting at verse 50. Now, there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, and this was not Joseph, Jesus' father, this was a different Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. And somehow I missed getting these few verses on there. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested as required by the law. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. So we find that Joseph, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. And then we find that the women were waiting. They after the body was wrapped in the cloth, they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But because the Sabbath had begun, they were not able to go immediately and anoint Jesus' body. They had to wait. But very early on Sunday morning, so between Friday evening and beginning of Sabbath, they had to wait until Sunday morning. I can imagine they were chomping at the bit to get, I want to go and anoint him, but they waited. And as Merle shared last week, if you were here last week and heard him speak on, we covered the topic of doubt with Thomas, doubting Thomas, as found in John chapter 20. Thomas had to wait 8 days between when all the other disciples saw Jesus after his resurrection and he got to see him. He had to wait. And it's interesting, just because Thomas was a disciple of Jesus, and just because Thomas said, unless I see his wounds and, you know, touch him, I'm not going to believe it. It doesn't mean that, bam, it just happened right away. He too had to wait for 8 days. Another portion of scripture found in Acts chapter 1. Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. But before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. And while they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his authority." I love that in verse 4, it says, while they were eating together, he ordered them to wait. Some translations say commanded. I think waiting is so hard sometimes that Jesus has to order us. You know, like, sit, stay. You know, like he has to command. You know, it doesn't say Jesus sort of suggested or, you know, Jesus whispered. Like Jesus ordered them to wait, commanded them to wait. I think that shows because waiting is hard. It's difficult. I love this interaction in verse 6. It says, as a result, so Jesus had just said, okay, I want you to wait because you have to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's as if you get to verse 6 and it's as if the disciples had said, yeah, whatever about the baptism. Yeah, we'll get there. But what about this overthrowing the government? Like they are so fixed on when are you going to come and take over the Roman government? Because we're tired of it. We are so tired of waiting. So they just sort of brush by the Holy Spirit thing and go, okay, but what about overthrowing the government? And I feel like Jesus, in the most utmost respectful way, of course, in verse 7, pretty much says, it's none of your business. I mean, he does. It isn't for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Ever have a moment like that in your own time of waiting? We feel like the Lord's told us something. He's promised us something. He's given us a dream, a vision, a prophetic word over us. And we're like, yes, Lord, that is so awesome. And then, flatline. Nothing. Nothing happens. It goes silent. And we get restless in our waiting. We get so weighed down in our waiting. And it's like we say, I'll take myself for example, I will say, Lord, when are you going to fill in your own blank? And then the Lord speaks back to us and says, Sue, it isn't for you to know the time or the season that the Father has set by his own authority for this promise to be fulfilled. Ouch. Can anybody else relate? Okay, 4 of you. That's awesome. The rest of you, get up here and preach my sermon. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? Well, first of all, we need to understand that God doesn't make us wait in order to see, you know, in order to make us tough it out or to spite us. That is not why God has us wait. While we wait, there are a lot of unseen things going on that we don't know about. You know, it's like when you plant a bulb in the ground during the winter, like nothing's happening. And you're thinking, whew, there's nothing, like nothing's going on, it's dead. And then a season or two passes, and then life happens. You might be in a season of, there's nothing happening. But it's a season, and life is going to happen. While we wait, there are character issues being worked out in the wait, and I guarantee you it's not God's character issues that are being worked out. It's yours and it's mine. While we wait, we have the ability to get to a new level of drawing near to God. While we wait, there's perfect timing being worked out and brought forth. If it's God's timing, it's never going to be too early, and it's never going to be too late. And while we wait, there's a refining of our ability to know that God is good and that you can trust him in the wait. Fundamental to being able to wait is trusting God's heart, his character, and his goodness. Perry Noble, who used to lead a church in South Carolina, made this quote one time in a sermon, and I have it written in my Bible. When we don't see the hand of God, we have to trust the heart of God. When we don't see the hand of God, we have to trust the heart of God. Our ability to wait well must be based on trust in the Lord and his goodness towards us and his heart for us, or we won't wait. And when we choose not to wait and to take matters into our own hands, we are asking for trouble. Case in point, Genesis 16 is the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. So Abraham and Sarah are pretty old, and Abraham gets a word that he will have a son, and he's going to be the father of many nations, and he'll have all these descendants. And so he's like, all right, I'm a little old, but, you know, whatever. 10 years go by, and no child. So Sarah, his wife, gets this brilliant idea. Okay, 10 years have gone by. We haven't had a baby. How about you go have sex with my maidservant, and then she'll have a baby, and I'm sure that's God's plan, and I'm tired of waiting for a baby. So Abraham was like, all right. I mean, he was. He was like, okay. So he did, and they had a baby. And it wasn't God's plan. Ishmael was not how the Lord was going to have Abraham to have many descendants. And do you know what? After that, 15 more years go by before Sarah finally gets pregnant. So from beginning to end, 25 years. Now, don't get discouraged if you're waiting on the Lord for something. I'm not saying it's going to be 25 years. But I'm saying in the wait, don't try and rush ahead of God or make it work because you're thinking, I'm tired of waiting. Do you know what? There was a lot of problems that followed the Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Ishmael, and Isaac thing. It wasn't a skip to Maluma, darling, and we're all one big happy family. Church, hear me on this. Don't run ahead of God as you wait. Don't run ahead of God as you wait. There is not one encouraging promise in Scripture of a blessing of rushing ahead of God. You don't believe me? Have at it and go look. And if you find one that says, blessed are those who rush ahead of God and do it their way, email me sshank@gcch.org, and I will, you know, bow down with humility. But I don't find any scripture that talks about blessing for running ahead of God and being tired of waiting and just doing it my way. But there are some great promises for those of us who wait. Psalm 25:3 says, those who wait on the Lord will not be ashamed. Other versions say embarrassed or dishonored. If you wait on the Lord, you will not be embarrassed or dishonored or ashamed. Isaiah 40, our strength will be renewed, which kind of means if you don't wait on the Lord, you're going to have the life sucked out of you. Lamentations 3:25, we will experience the goodness of God as we wait. Take the opposite of that. You don't wait on God, I don't know that you're going to experience his goodness. And God will act on our behalf as we wait. Isaiah 64:4. The word wait appears in the Bible approximately 105 times, plus or minus, which means it's probably a pretty important topic. That's a lot of times. And in all cases, the word wait in Scripture is about waiting expectantly and with hope. Expectantly and with hope. Listen to this. Psalm 69:3, David writes, I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting with confident expectation for my God to help me. So even when it's excruciatingly hard to wait, when we're crying our eyes out before the Lord in agony, our eyes are swollen from crying, our throat is parched from crying out to the Lord, even then we can still wait with confident expectation. When this drops into our heart, that waiting is with expectancy and with hope, perhaps our "I cannot wait any longer" will turn into a "I can wait. I can wait." Because if God hasn't allowed this to occur yet, there's still things falling into place. I'm pretty excited about this. I can wait. Our founding pastor, Dick Blackwell, who was my pastor when we were here, I was here as a JMU student, he had shared in a sermon one time, and I had written it in my Bible because it stood out to me so much. He said, "As you wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord. As you wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord." This will hit some of you in about 10 seconds. Waiting doesn't mean sitting around and doing nothing for the Lord until we get what we're waiting for. You know, well, I feel like I'm, you know, I feel like God's told me that I'm going to have like my own business, and so I'm supposed to sit here and wait, and I'm not really going to take a job anywhere else until, you know, my own business is just dropped in my lap. No. Waiting doesn't mean sitting around doing nothing. Rather, it's filling that time with service to the Lord, on your feet, ready to minister and serve, almost like a waiter or a waitress. So as you wait for the Lord, wait on him. Serve him. Serve him. I was talking to Dick a couple nights ago, and I was telling him, hey, you know, when I was here as a JMU student and you shared something in a sermon, and I'm going to share that on Sunday about as you wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord, because you said it was like, you know, being a waiter or a waitress. And he said, yeah, and sometimes God gives really good tips too. So keep that in mind. As you wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord. How do you do that? Do the next thing. Even if it seems to have nothing to do with what you're hoping and waiting for, when God asks you to do something, you do the next thing. And then you do the next thing. And then you do the next thing. And then you do the next thing. And you know what eventually happens? All of a sudden you're like, oh, here I am. I'm in the fulfillment of the word that God had given me. I started out there, and as I was waiting, I just kept doing the next thing. And here I am, walking in what God had for me. Do the next thing. Don't wait and whine. Don't wait and complain. Don't wait and sideline yourself. Don't wait and have a pity party. Nobody will show up. Wait with expectancy and hope. This, quite honestly, has been a game-changing conviction, challenge, and encouragement for me this week as I've been preparing. I've got a few things I'm really waiting on from the Lord, and I've realized I've been waiting and whining and waiting and complaining. Now, y'all wouldn't know that, because outside I'm like, praise the Lord, like, God's so good. Inside, I've been waiting and whining and waiting and complaining, and God's heard it all. Merle hears some of it when I can't take it anymore. I'm just like, it's so not fair. I can't wait on this anymore. But I am changing my stance to one of waiting with expectancy and hope. And this week, as I've been praying into and over those things that I'm waiting for, when I found myself start to wait, I was like, Lord, I'm so excited. I'm excited that this hasn't happened yet, because you're still arranging things and growing things. And I'm going to be excited, and I'm going to have hope. All right, I need you to just think, dig a little deeper and stay with me on this point, because this is even above my thinking, but the Lord dropped it in my spirit. So the weight of a weight, the heaviness, the burden of a weight. In Hebrew, the word for glory is kabod, K-A-B-O-D. And it referred to whatever possessed weight in the sense of dignity, splendor, and honor. In 2 Chronicles, we find the story of Solomon dedicating the temple that he had just built. And in chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory, the kabod, the weight of the Lord filled the Lord's house." 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 11, "The priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory, the kabod, the weight of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." What if our seasons of waiting, instead of feeling like a heavy, burdensome weight, it became an opportunity for the glory of God, the kabod, the weight of the glory of God to be manifested in us and to come down on us and through us. The weight of a weight would be the glory of God coming in my weight. Okay, I think that's pretty exciting. Waiting is difficult. Trust me, I get it. I have waited for the fulfillment of some things, and I am currently waiting for the fulfillment of some things. But lest we feel discouraged and alone in our waiting, here is some of the best news when it comes to waiting. We serve and are loved by a God who can relate because he also waits. Isaiah 30, verse 18, "Therefore the Lord longs," which is translated waits, "to be gracious to you. And therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who wait for him." How blessed are those who wait for him. Karen? I believe that some of us here today, most of us here today, probably all of us here today, are waiting on the Lord for something. And you're weary from the waiting. You're feeling the weight of the weight. And perhaps you saw the title of today's message and you thought, sweet, I am going to learn how to move God along on this issue and get this waiting thing over with. And now you are sorely disappointed. I cannot tell you how long your season of waiting will be. I mean, remember in the scripture back in Luke, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set. And I can't tell you how to get God moving along on your situation. That would be called manipulation, and you don't even want to go there. But I can tell you with 100,000% confidence, because it's in the Bible, that there are so many benefits to waiting on God. That the weight of waiting doesn't have to be burdensome. Rather, it can be filled with the weight of God's glory, the weight of God's presence. And you are waiting on a God who knows what it is like to wait, because he waits to be gracious and compassionate to you and to me. Let's stand. and ministry team, if you could come up right now. Here's how I want to end today. I simply want to end by praying scripture over you concerning waiting. There is power in the truth of what's in the word. And even if you don't feel these scriptures, like, I don't feel like that's true, it doesn't make it any less true. So I want to pray the truth of scripture over you. If you're in a season where you are feeling the heaviness of waiting, if you're comfortable, I just would like for you to lift your hands. You can do it down here if you're not comfortable, or you can do it up here or anywhere in between, as an act of receiving. I'm going to pray these scriptures over you, and then I'll close in prayer, and after that, you're either free to be dismissed, or you can come up and receive prayer from our ministry team for anything. So if you just want to receive and you feel comfortable holding out your hands, please do so. And I just want to read the truth of Scripture. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my trust. Lord, let it not just be part of us that waits on you, but our whole being. Psalm 37:34. Wait with hope for the Lord and follow his path, and he will honor you by giving you the land. I don't know what your land is that you're waiting for, but if you wait on God's timing, he will honor you by giving you the land. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait for the Lord's help find renewed strength. They rise up as if they had eagle's wings. They run without growing weary. They walk without getting tired. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good. He is good to those who wait confidently for him, to those who seek him on the authority of God's word. God is not making you wait because his heart towards you is bad or spiteful. He is good towards you. He's good towards those who confidently wait for him. Micah 7:7, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. For those of you who have felt like God doesn't even hear me, that is a lie from the pit. God hears you. Psalm 33, verses 20 and 21. We wait expectantly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for in him our heart rejoices because we trust, lean on, rely on, and are confident in his holy name. Isaiah 64:4. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. He acts for those who wait for him. And lastly, church, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Jesus, help us. Help us to be obedient to wait for you. We don't want to rush ahead. We don't want to try and be conniving and manipulating. We want to wait. And instead of the heaviness of a waiting season, Lord, let your kabod, your heavy, weighty glory and presence fall in our seasons of waiting. God, for those in this room today who have felt like, I can't wait one more day for this fulfillment of this promise to take place, Father, I just speak encouragement and hope and trust and your glory all over them and all over their situation. God, we want to be people who wait well, who take courage, and we wait for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed, parents. It's a little bit early, so it's a little gift for you if you want to stay in fellowship. You don't have to pick your kids up right away. You're dismissed. You're also welcome to come up and receive prayer for anything. Have a great week, and happy Mother's Day to you moms.